Before we start off this episode, huge thanks to Podcorn for sponsoring Wrestling Soup. If you host and run a podcast, you can find and explore sponsorship and monetizing opportunities by signing up at podcorn.com/podcasters.
Have you been following what WWE is doing with their All Access?
Didn't they cancel this yet?
No, not at all. What happened was initially, and this is where me and Joey were joking on Thursday last week, right? It was WWE All Access, etc., etc. They were looking for volunteers in order to run the photographs, be the ticket takers, like all that shit, right? And me and Joey had a disagreement about it. Like, I'm like, you know what? If it's like anything else, when it comes to events, a lot of these people that are quote unquote volunteers are probably going to get like extras, because all they promised people was a t-shirt and a hat.
Right.
And a chance to win a seat at Monday Night Raw, which is horrible when you think about 8 hours of work and fucking who knows how hot it's going to be, Texas, right? WWE, the access is now not only all in one room. So that means the photo ops, the memorabilia, the sets, like all that stuff, but all the merchandise is together. And the only way to purchase merchandise or purchase photo ops is by paying a $10 general admission fee into the WWE Access store.
I can't even get people to work for $15 an hour.
So a smaller version of WrestleMania Access will be held from Thursday, March 31st to Monday, April 4th at the Kay Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center in Dallas. This year, it's a titled Superstore Access, and everything will be part of the merchandise shop. At the Superstore Access, fans can shop the biggest collection of WrestleMania merchandise ever, relive all of WWE history with curated memorabilia displays, participate in WWE-themed activities, see the Rob Schamberger Art Gallery and live painting, have the opportunities to purchase tickets to premium experiences, all within the store. So premium experiences include Undertaker's Graveyard, Alexa's Playground, Miz's TV set, the KO show set, superstar entrances, call a match presented by Snickers, and autograph and photo opportunities with WWE superstars and legends. The $10 general admission ticket includes unlimited entries into the superstore for all 5 days, and access to the free activities within Footprint, and ability to purchase premium experiences within Footprint. Tickets to these experiences will be sold inside the Superstore. It's a fucking
surcharge. That's for everything.
Everything.
So it's $10 on, just add $10 to anything and everything.
Yes.
That's why when people talk about going to like WrestleMania, whatever, like it's no, but you just need a ticket to the, it's hundreds to thousands of dollars you got to spend.
Oh my God.
If you really want the experience, I mean, can you go there and be a cheapo and not, you really can't, but that's what I'm saying. So I mean, people always act like, let's just go. I'm like, to me, that seems like a year's worth of saving and planning to have to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not anything you can do off the cuff. There's just so much added to just the ticket to the event. It's like you're not even seeing the grand scope of things, really, when you're just looking at getting a ticket for the event.
Right.
If you host a podcast, then Podcorn might be the change you need. So, Mish, what the hell is Podcorn? Well, simply put, Podcorn is a platform which connects sponsors and podcasts together. Podcorn is a marketplace that connects you to amazing sponsorship opportunities, everything from host reads and interview segments, topical discussions, and even more. Within Podcorn, there's no middleman, nobody else you have to deal with. Podcasts of all sizes, whether you're a fledgling startup or an absolute behemoth, you can just browse and choose your very own opportunities right on the Podcorn platform. You can set your own price rates, and they even help guide you as to what ranges to ask for. You don't have to give up any rights to your podcast, which is really important. But the real benefit here is that you have an entire list of sponsors looking to hook up with your shows, and you can monetize whichever opportunities you want. And Podcorn is actually there to offer support and help every step of the way, not only to ensure you're protected, but to make sure that you're compensated for your work and for what you do for brands, which is a necessity for a smaller show. As a smaller show, You really need to find ways in order to curb some of the costs of podcasting, believe me. I've been podcasting for over 12 years within just Wrestling Soup alone. Anything to help supplement costs, your time, your show hosting, your website, your domains, and everything else that comes along, all the little fees that come with running a successful podcast. Podcorn is here to give you an opportunity to make some ching and get something back for it. So make sure you check out the link in our show description and sign up to Podcorn and start browsing sponsorship opportunities right away.
Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience.
What?
We like to use naughty words.
Hell yeah.
Oh no, not these guys.
No.
You are listening to Wrestling Soup, motherfuckers.
Welcome to Wrestling Soup. I'm Anthony Missionary Thomas. He is Kevin Castle. But no, it's like going back into this, I really gotta say, the tickets or the merchandise is gonna be jacked up to begin with.
Yeah.
It's not like, look, I mean, what is it normally at the arena? $35, $30 for a t-shirt? T-shirts are WrestleMania.
Like, if you're at the Barclay and
yeah, like if you're going to Raw. Right. Right.
I think even 30 you can get a shirt for.
Well, they're going to be 50 at WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on top of that, you're charging an additional $10. This is
$60 for a t-shirt.
just for one t-shirt. Yes.
I know somebody who literally saves for like a whole year and winds up spending like $3,500, like, you know, just all this merch and stuff. And again, some people treat it like, you know, but this is their vacation. This is their thing. You know, this is their, it's almost like get like a vacation and a collectible thing and rolled up into one.
Right.
Because, you know, you go away to Maui for 2 weeks. What do you come home with? Like some cockle shells. And
yeah.
I went to Maui and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Like, you know, like something. But in wrestling, you go there and you can come home with a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That you'll have forever, and it's a big collectible, and it goes on your mantle. And so wrestling fans, I think, look at it from a different perspective. But the average Joe, especially now, like post-COVID, I mean, if we're even in a post-COVID world, we're still in COVID, to spend all that money, I can't personally do it, even with working full-time again. I couldn't do it.
That's the thing, and the fact that they're gouging people on this, too, is just – it's kind of insane to me. Because it would be one thing, Kev, if you got something for that $10. All that $10 does is give you the opportunity to buy more stuff to get it. Like, this is a Disney feel. Doesn't this kind of have like the Disneyland feel?
Yes,
where
yes.
You pay to get into one park, and then even though the other park is next door, you have to pay more money to get into that park.
Yeah, like that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's not a good look. And then the fact that they're working on volunteers, also like Disney, you know. And I know you've probably heard the big Disney walkout too. That's
yeah,
been all over the news too, dude. I'm really unhappy with this. Like it was one thing when they were just going for volunteers. Like I could sit there and spin it in my head, and like, oh, you know what? They're gonna get autographs. They're gonna get free pictures and shit. You know, it's going to be a hot day. They're going to get free water, free food. Like, even if it's like Little Caesar's Pizza, you know, I'm like, there's no way WWE is going to treat these people like shit. And then you look at the other side of this and it's like, wow, no, maybe they are. Maybe they're really gouging people this time on a level unbeknownst to man. Fuck.
Again, I understand that they got to make up some differences from all the losses they have, but WWE is supposedly making record money. I mean, is this a WWE ultimate decision, or this is something that has to do with sponsorship? Or, I mean, ultimately WWE makes the call on this, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is this $10 shirt? Like, I'm trying to think like some justified reason to do that. You know what I mean?
Money. I mean, literally the reason to do that, it's money. First off, since it's not just access now it's all encompassing.
But they never did that before.
No. This is the first time they've ever done
this. Is COVID or the losses during COVID an excuse?
I mean, it could be gas as an excuse. They can use any excuse. Or
it could be gas. Yeah, gas price. I don't know.
Like, but I mean, like, it's just, but that's what it is.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even with the gas prices being really ridiculously out of control, you know, with everything so much money, it's like they're just kind of hammering the fans.
Oh, yeah.
But they'll get it, right? It's not like they won't get it. The fans will do it. And probably not even with a big pushback. Probably only podcasters like us and Anthony or maybe like other people who like get in depth of these things will like say there should be a pushback. But I don't think there'll be a pushback by the fans.
No, people bend over and like it, dude. And that's the
sad thing. Bend over and like it.
That's, well, I mean, thank what you, else sir, are you going to do?
Another.
Oh, man, I really want that WrestleMania, you know, commemorative Hall of Fame Undertaker t-shirt.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, the Undertaker shirts.
Right.
Forget about it.
Right. You know exactly what this is. They realize how much money Undertaker is going to bring in, whether he's next to people or not, just even being in the vicinity. He is drawing fucking more money than anybody else on the roster.
Yeah, that's true. Jeez.
Because, yeah, those Undertaker t-shirts, oh, you know, because I was even talking with Joey about this a few minutes ago before we even started the show. And he's like, I don't understand why they would do this. Like, who would do this? And just talking to you, I'm like, well, the Undertaker merch. Oh my God. When they said that they're going to have the largest collection of merchandise this year, I believe them. I totally believe that spin. It's not just like, hey, we've got the largest goods in all the good, you know, like, no, yeah. They're really going to have shit tons of merch. And I would say that 50% of it is going to be Undertaker based.
Probably. At Austin.
In Austin. Well, that would be another 25%.
You know? Texas Legends in Texas getting a commemorative Texas shirt. They're going to probably, I'm going to be interested. I guess obviously after the post, after Mania's over, we'll be doing a bunch of shows.
Oh, yeah.
And how much merch, I'm curious to how much revenue they made in merch.
Oh, geez, I don't. Wow. Can you even ballpark that?
Undertaker Hall of Fame and an Austin return after 19 years. Yeah. They probably have a bunch of different things they're making.
God, I know, but I can't even. What did I mean? I guess this is such an open-ended question because I mean I don't have the facts in front of me, but I wonder what WrestleMania did last year as far as merch when there was like nobody really around, and the year before that when nobody was really around. Like,
probably not much of anything. Last year, probably obviously more because they did have somewhat of a crowd, you know, in Florida in that football stadium. But right. Now this year, I think they're going to go all out. Just curious to see what they. You know, they obviously probably haven't revealed anything yet. They'll probably have stuff there day of.
Well, the other thing that they revealed is Stephanie McMahon made the executive decision to start pumping out WWE NFTs. They've gotten in bed with a different company. I forgot the name of the company, but NFTs is something that's going to be regular. And if you remember, WWE did the NFTs, I think it was two WrestleManias ago, with The Undertaker.
Right.
And I think they made like $100,000 on one NFT sale. Like it was an auction and they made like over $100,000 on one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people that think that WWE is going out of business, man.
That's the most ridiculous thing when I hear that.
Do you look at those posts now and go, yeah, that's never going to happen. Not while we're alive.
There's certain things that will never happen. That's like when people every year tell me Saturday Night Live is going to be canceled. It's going to be on forever. It's 50 years and running. There's just certain things that you can expect, you know, to happen. And WWE is going to be fine. I mean,
yeah.
I think WrestleMania would sell because everyone's like, oh, 2 weeks to go, still not 100,000 tickets sold. They'll get it filled. Oh, they got to give it away. They'll do it.
Well, that's the other thing too is, yeah, give it away. That's another thing too because – the other side of this is even if WWE doesn't come close to selling that many tickets, oh, the charity that they could give it to a couple of like, you know, Make-A-Wish foundations and give it to orphanages. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to be dark, but that's what WWE would do. Why wouldn't you spin it? Why would you say, hey, we gave out 5,000 tickets to all the boys and girls of the Boys and Girls Club of America. You know, like, oh, look at how great we are.
That would be the smartest thing to do is give it to a bunch of exuberant, youthful people because they'll make a lot of noise in the stadium.
Yeah.
And give it to a bunch of youth organizations where you'll have a bunch of young, excitable faces. Then they can pan the camera on them.
And
brag about it. Impressionable. Exactly. Don't give it to a bunch of people. Oh, yeah, I guess I'll go to WrestleMania. Give it to a bunch of young people. Go to Boys and Girls Clubs throughout Texas. Yep. Is the biggest state. They can fill that stadium, Mish, if they want to.
Oh, easy. Easy. I don't even have a fucking doubt in my mind about that.
Go to schools and just give them away. Get school trips. You know, just make it. It'll happen. People think that. You really think there's going to be big curtained off sections in that springtime in Texas Stadium? You are delusional.
You are a fool. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's not going to be big roped off areas at WrestleMania. It's not going to happen.
God.
Not gonna happen.
Could you imagine the black tarps in WrestleMania? Oh, that would be hilarious.
Springtime in Texas is going to be like an 80-degree day out there. Forget about it.
And this is really the first year that a lot of the mandates, even if, you know, places like Texas didn't push the mandate very hard,
right,
across the country, different states did. And so I think there's going to be a lot of people that will absolutely take that vacation to Texas just for a few days, you know, just a little bit, and enjoy this. I'm very surprised that they haven't sold out. Like, I mean, are you kind of shocked by that?
I'm shocked by it, but I think because there are still people on the fence going, yeah, I want to see Austin, but is it going to be an interview and a one stunner and done thing? But now the it's being really leaked out that Austin is training for an all out fight, that yes, they're going to do like almost a Gold Dust Roddy Piper street fight kind of thing where this could go throughout the stadium. And it's not going to be pre-tape, it's going to be live. So it's not going to be an interview and a one stunner and done. And I think people are just on the fence about, I want to go, I want to go, and they're just not sure. You know what I mean? But if that's the only match that's getting them to go, then, you know, I mean, I'd want to see something more than just one match, you know, for night one. And that's supposed to close out night one, by the way.
Wrestling Soup will be right back.
That's something. What it is. So there was a guy, I guess this is one of those famous, you know, Reddit leakers and stuff like that. He's the one, Kermit something, Kermit125, who I guess has some notable information that he's leaked before. And he claims that, you know, Ronda Rousey's obviously in the company because of the power of marketing with WrestleMania and everything else like that. But they're saying that the information is Kevin Owens and Stone Cold Steve Austin will be headlining on WrestleMania for Saturday, specifically listed as an Austin versus Owens,
yes,
suggesting that this might be an official match. Mm-hmm. So it's not even being touted as, you know, the KO show, the Kevin Owens show. It's not even being, you know, just a return, kick, drink the beer, and then drop.
Exactly.
It's actually being cited as a match. Now that changes everything.
Does.
And it's even more interesting to me because that would be your big WrestleMania moment. I was talking with DT about this on Breakfast Soup on Monday, and we kind of glanced over this a little bit. And one of the things I was openly stating is, I'm like, you know, even if people aren't jazzed up about the WrestleMania card, and I don't know how you feel, I'm about 50-50. There are some absolutely killer matches that I want to see. Yeah. And there is a lot of stuff that I have no problem taking a piss break on. You know,
oh, me too.
It is so hot and cold that it almost worries me, the outcome. But you sit there and look at the idea that Kevin Owens versus Austin is going to close out night one. I guarantee no matter how good or bad Saturday ends up being, the only thing people will be talking about is Stone Cold's return to the fucking ring, period.
Oh, no, I definitely agree with you. I mean, you know, again, yeah, there's the Logan Paul stuff I'm not big on with
Miz. Right,
right. I don't really care about that. There's some other stuff I don't care about that stands out. But the Austin thing for me, and obviously along with Brock versus Roman, that's huge. And Cody versus Seth, I'm very invested in this now because this is going to the wire next week.
Right.
I'm still, you know, I still think Cody debuts at WrestleMania, does not come out next week, but maybe he does. But this, the Austin thing has really gotten, and after Monday, when Owens coming out and doing that impersonation, trolling Chicago,
yeah,
and doing it twice to them and really having them fall for it, I thought that, I mean, this is obviously way more than an interview. This is completely, as a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised on the next Raw, they don't even call it KO show anymore. They call it a fight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like almost like the confrontation is going to happen because you don't go all out. Owens doesn't do what he does on Monday. If this is a interview, what? One and done,
right,
stunner.
Right.
Owens laying there, pour the beer on Owens. You don't go all out like this. You don't give him the opening segment for 15 minutes on Monday for a one and done stunner. That's not going to happen. You know, I think Austin talked about on Rich Eisen's show that he's getting in shape. He's getting ready. He feels better than he's ever felt before. And I just think, because they're just doing that, they're really dick teasing you to the fucking limit here.
Yeah.
That they're not, because everyone's, why don't they just come out and say Austin is having a match? What is this you know, shielding and veiling what's actually happening. Because that's what they're doing. That's what they want to do. I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
I think it's not going to be a sanctioned match.
Right, an unsanctioned street fight.
Right, yeah. There you go. It's not going to be a ref decision. It's not going to be a fucking zebra call. It's going to be two guys fighting a lot longer than a few minutes in a ring. It's going to be, I wouldn't be surprised if it was, wow, I would dare. It's safe, I would say at least 10 minutes.
I would say that too, and I think it's going to go into
the crowd. Yeah,
I think so. I think it's going to go into the crowd. I think it's going to be something. There's going to be one of those moments, and I'm expecting Owens to take a major bump somewhere, running away from Austin, and he takes a spill because we've seen Austin. You know, he's gone all out for less. That's the funny thing is this is huge for Kevin Owens. I think that's escaping some people in our community. It's like, well, you know, the whole bottom line is Austin just beats the shit out of Owens. It's so much more than that. This is a big fucking deal for Owens. It's very big.
Well,
and I think it's escaping a lot of people how big it is for
Owens.
Dude,
that was the first thing when me and you did that show a couple weeks back and we first heard the Austin promo. And we watched it and him coming down the road and stuff like that in his buggy. And he cut that fucking promo. And I mean, before WWE got it and started changing up the audio and putting in the fucking sound bed, I was like, what is that crap? But when we heard the Raw interview, the raw shoot, if you will, from Austin, we had goosebumps. And the first thing I said, dude, is like, dude, this is huge for Kevin Owens. I'm so happy for him. Like, that was the first thing I thought. I mean, if you really think about it, Kevin Owens is the last guy to stun Vince McMahon. Kevin Owens stunned Vince McMahon in his old ass age. And now he's, and I would not doubt that he stuns Stone Cold at some point. I know that's a crazy thought too. And let me paraphrase this with an idea of what this might mean too. Do you think if Kevin Owens gets to stun Steve Austin, it's kind of Steve's way of blessing him to use the stunner from now on? Because, you know, if he stuns Steve Austin, that's his fucking move. That's his move. Does Kevin Owens become the new stunner guy?
I don't know. And I'm even wondering if Owens can be a babyface out of this when he gets his ass kicked and respects Austin. Is it possible that they can go that way? And Owens becomes kind of that kind of ass. I know. I was just thinking about that. Could it be like where Austin even picks him up off the ground and respects him, you know, for bringing this back in him and thanking him for bringing that back, the old Stone Cold?
They just beat the shit out of each other so much. Right, that
exactly. Does it have to be that Owens is just the cowardly heel running for his life in the end, or that he is laying on the floor unconscious and Austin's over his broken body? Or could it be where Austin does a beer thing with him at the end and says, I respect him. They're a mess. Or even Owens is a bloody mess.
Right.
And he says, I respect you, kid. You know, something like that. It could go that way. Why not? Owens just re-signed for another 3 years.
Yeah.
So clearly, you know, what do they do with him from here? And, you know, we've seen the most vicious heels turn babyface like in a heartbeat. So people could be like, oh, no, after he insulted Texas and Owens. Well, maybe Owens could say now he respects Texas. He respects Steve. He just wanted to bring this out of him. There's a bunch of different ways to go.
And if anybody's capable, and if anybody's capable of putting on that good post promo shoot interview, once again with the quote fingers, Owens can do that.
Absolutely.
Owens is absolutely capable of that.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was that. Because like I said, if we said this in the general populace, right, they're like, how could they do that? He's insulted Texas. Look what he did Monday night. How could he just become a babyface? Out of that, they beat the shit out of each other. It can be done. It's been done in wrestling before.
Well, and not only that, they did plant the seeds. I mean, Owens did talk about watching Steve Austin, being enamored with Steve Austin when he was a kid. Like, he made it very clear that he's not just coming out of left field with Steve Austin, that he once upon a time had a genuine respect for Steve Austin. So maybe this, you might be onto something here, Kev.
I knew I had to draw you out, and this is the only way I can draw you out was attacking your state and attacking your manhood and attacking your commitment to wrestling. I knew this is the way to do it. So maybe, like I said, I'm just thinking outside the box a little bit because it's too obvious to be the broken-bodied Kevin Owens and just pouring beer all over him, and he's Austin puts his leg on top of him. Look, I just beat the shit out of this guy. It's got to be something more to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because again, Austin was drawn out after 19 years. It's got to be more.
It's got to be big. Yeah.
It's got to be big. It's got to be because he wouldn't be. It's Austin who wouldn't be part of anything mediocre. It's not going to happen. After 19 years is what he was. And I'm sure year after year, they haven't given him an idea to do something. Austin and
oh, my God. Romania. Vince probably asks him every year, you feel like coming back?
Exactly. So it's got to be something where someone got to them. It's like anything else. You get the right person to talk to somebody. It's like mending fences with people. It's like this guy can help the situation, you know?
So another thing that's going on with WrestleMania weekend that's, this is pretty much heavy for it. The Undertaker, he's going to be making an appearance during WrestleMania weekend, not involved with the Hall of Fame. And that's interesting the way that it was put, because we expected him to come out, because every year when they have the Hall of Fame inductees and stuff like that, they always do like the dais where they all stand on the ramp and they take, you know, the adulation from the fans. But the idea that Undertaker might do something that's not related. And I'm wondering what could that be?
Yeah. What could that be?
You know, I'm not sure.
I couldn't even guess. I mean,
I would say Edge. I mean, if you want to talk about grandfathering people in with the Stunner and stuff like that, even as a fantasy, you know, Edge coming out with the fucking darker promo, coming out looking with the purple light.
Yeah, that's not bad.
You know, very Ministry of Darkness light. I don't know. It would be very interesting to me if Undertaker blesses Edge, you know, in a way or something like that.
I like it.
And I love AJ Styles, but AJ is totally going to be the victim this WrestleMania. I think people just have to understand that this is about pushing Edge a lot further. And I think Edge is going to be the new veteran, you know, for as many guys that have come and gone. And, you know, obviously you can talk about the Hardys even as most recently.
Mm-hmm.
Edge is one of those guys that, you know, he survived, he came back, and he's wrestling, and he's doing well for himself. So if there is a chance that The Undertaker shows up for something that's not Hall of Fame related, my first guess would be Edge. But I don't know.
I don't know. That's not a bad guess. Could it be something with Omos? Does an Omos have a mystery partner? There's an Omos going up against a mystery opponent.
Yeah, but I think that's been highlighted as Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley's cleared to come back?
Well, he apparently doesn't need surgery. And once again, more fucking rumors, people. Like, I don't want people to come stabbing daggers at me. I'm like, look, this is just what I'm reading. This is what I'm seeing. Unfortunately, it's been proven a lot in the last few weeks. A lot of these speculations from different news sites and podcasts are just that. And this is also among that. The speculative rumor is that Bobby Lashley is going to end up being the opponent.
Wow.
For Omos. And that could be really good, because I would love it if there was a way that MVP and Bobby Lashley could bring Omos in.
Of course.
Because Omos really needs a manager.
He does.
Really needs a manager. And I know that already people don't like him. Oh, he's only got three or four moves. He's only got three or four moves. I'm like, dude, he doesn't need anything more than three or four moves. If you're fucking 7'3", 7'4", weighing over 400 pounds, and your fist is the size of motherfuckers' heads. You don't need a fucking plancha. You don't need a suicide atope. You know? Just punch people. That's it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it's so wild. He can't wrestle. What? He can't wrestle like the Young Bucks? Like, what do you want out of this guy? Like, he's a monster. He's a guy that you don't need fancy tricks. He just needs to be able to pick up people, choke them, and throw them. And that's it.
You're right.
So, but you're right. That's another speculative rumor, another change that's happening too. Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville will now be an anything goes match.
Oh, Jesus. I like Sami Zayn. He's entertaining enough stuff, but that's the celebrity matches, the Knoxville and the Logan Paul. Are the two ones, I mean, of course, I'm going to watch it. Like, we do podcasts. We have to report on it. Of course, I'm going to watch it. So I'm not going to, you know, bake that I'm faint. Oh, I'm going to be outside when those matches are on. I'll watch it.
Right.
But I won't be glued to the TV like I will be for Austin and Brock and Reigns, you know. Right. I'll watch it just to watch it, you know, but I'm not looking forward to it. Those will be where I'll be running back and forth to see if the sandwiches are ready.
Refilling the chip bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, making exactly. a new batch of green tea or something.
Making sure the cat has enough food.
Making sure the cat. Checking the apartment. Make sure the doors are locked. I think it's everybody. God bless you if you enjoy every match on WrestleMania. I know a lot of people treat it like I'm looking forward to the whole thing. That's great. But I think, you know, with such grizzled veterans of watching wrestling at this point, it's obvious what we're looking forward to, and it's obvious what we can just kind of look at half-heartedly and go, okay. And if it's decent and Logan Paul puts on a good performance, just like we gave credit, all of us gave credit to Bad Bunny, absolutely. We'll give him the credit. We'll give him the credit. Put over Bad Bunny last year.
I have no problem giving credit where credit is due. But, I mean, to fill Bad Bunny's shoes and his performance with Miz
that's
and Morrison,
gonna be difficult.
That is going to be difficult, dude, because that guy went all out. And I think the best part about him going all out was nobody expected it. There was nobody before that match happened that went, oh, yeah, Bad Bunny's going to kill it. Like, nobody said that. Everybody's just kind of like, Damian Priest is in a match at least. And it turned out to be fucking fantastic. So hopefully.
It's funny, yeah. And fingers were burning to blast putting this guy, you know, no business in the ring. And he was so impressive that everyone's like, I got to admit, that was the main talking point was like, got to admit, that guy was pretty fucking good. Everyone, I don't think anybody shit on that match. I mean, even the most hardened WWE critics, nobody shit on that match. It was actually one of, I think, top three of all WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah. And the funniest thing, too, is it came from a celebrity. And celebrities are usually bottom of the totem pole whenever it comes to WrestleMania. Because to be fair, there have been a lot of bad celebrity matches.
Of course.
A lot of bad celebrity appearances. Not every fucking one has been gold, Jerry. You know? So the fact that Bad Bunny was the guy to kind of make all of the critics, us included, kind of go, oh, shit, look, there's people that are actually capable outside of the industry that did a good job and fucking got the crowd on fire. And literally wasn't acting like, who was the other guy that was really good at it? It was Cody's friend, actually. The Green Arrow guy. He was pretty good in the ring.
Oh, what the hell is his name? Oh. God damn it. Oh, I can't remember his name.
But he was another guy that was surprising. Like, we didn't expect him to be decent. And all of a sudden, oh, wow, look at this guy. He can fucking wrestle.
He was impressive. He was, he was pretty impressive. You know.
The other match that's being changed is Natalya and Baszler. Got into the WWE Women's Tag Team Titles match.
Steve Amell.
Steve Amell. Right. Very good.
Just came to me.
So they've interfered during the Banks, Naomi, and Ripley Morgan match on Friday on SmackDown. They took out everyone. And then on Monday, obviously, they had another match. But that's all set for Sunday. And I don't know. Did you see, and I kind of made a joke about it, but Shayna Baszler wearing the construction outfit is not flattering.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I don't like the team with Natty. I don't like that either, but I guess, you want to keep your job. This is where you're at now.
Yeah, that's where we're at, I guess.
But a lot of makeshift tag teams with the women now.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, Gable Stevenson, he won his second NCAA title. He also went on Twitter saying that he'll see everybody at WrestleMania before he deleted it. But he's moving full time now to WWE, and he's one of those upstarts that WWE is, have invested in. They've helped pave his way not only to come into WWE, but to financially back him as well. So it's like it's another stage of this NIL program that we talked about before, where they're going after college athletes now. I hate the term flip. I've already heard somebody else use it to flip them from their chosen sports profession to becoming a wrestler. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's more along the lines of dual sports because I don't want to go back to like hardcore Holly and shit like that, but there was more than a few guys that have wrestled for WWE that were also sports superstars, either retired football players or whatever else like that managed to balance their way between both. Even Ronda Rousey was a former MMA.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I saw some new pictures of Gable Stevens. He's a beast, man.
Oh,
he's a beast, man. I think, he's going to be something. And you could say, listen, Kurt Angle, if he takes to it like Kurt Angle, like the duck to water, I mean, Kurt Angle is one of a kind. But if he gets it right away or he's another Lesnar, they got a real winning you know, a diamond on their hands, you know, and I think he will be. I think this Gable Stevenson guy will be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even have to see it. I just looking at his presence, and he's all tattooed up. He was a lot bigger than I thought he was. I didn't know he didn't realize how muscular he was.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw him in street clothes. I didn't see him like working out in the gym. I'm like, oh shit, this guy's a beast.
You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
Toni Storm came out with her OnlyFans page.
Oh, Jesus.
It debuted like 3 days ago now, I think, at this point. And she has at least a minimum of 3,000 plus people that have subscribed for $20 a pop. Nice. That's not including, and this is what I was trying to explain, and that's only for 1 month. That's not including a lot of those 3,000, once again, minimum 3,000 that have purchased maybe a year long or 6 months at a time. So it might be a lot more than just $20 a pop. And that's also not including the big ticket item, which is personalized videos and pictures that you can pay for on OnlyFans to the creators. So she might charge anywhere between $500 to $1,000 for personalized videos on, which is, it's a, and people are like, well, what's the difference between that and Cameo? I'm like, well, on OnlyFans, you can be a lot more seductive. You can do a lot more with your OnlyFans donations, you know, that you can do with Cameo. So expect that to be a thing. And it's already estimated that she's probably making more than $100,000 a month.
That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. And I think me and you had a little discussion off air about this the other day, that she struck me as a girl who didn't want to do stuff like that because she was so upset about the nude leak a couple of years ago. She had a breakdown, like a mental breakdown, and now all the fans are going after the pervy guys for saying comments and stuff. And I'm like, you're kind of playing into the narrative though. Now, I mean, listen, that's nudely a picture that was stolen. I get it, but I'm not saying that she's doing full nudes now. I don't know. I've never joined an OnlyFans. I've been tempted a couple of times, but I've never joined just to see what the hype is about. Right. But I never joined not one OnlyFans, even girls that I work with and stuff. I was curious. I'm like, what's up? What's on there? I have no idea. So I don't know how far Toni is going.
Yeah, I don't know yet either. I'll probably know by Thursday.
You know, because there's a lot of ass shots of her online, but clearly she's got the one asset, no pun intended, that everybody wants to see. But 2 years ago, it was a bone of contention that people generalized her like that. And now she's using it to make $100,000 a month.
Right.
Because I don't want to hear that people, and I wrote on Twitter the other day, stop with the, I'm just supporting her. You want to see her in all her glory and not feel a little pervy about it in public. You want to join a private thing where you could be private and no one knows that you're on the OnlyFans unless you make yourself known. You know, no one really blows up the spot. Hey, I'm on our OnlyFans.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a private thing. So, and you want to see her because you do find her attractive, but you feel like you can't say it in public. I laughed at a couple of people who was like, I never joined an OnlyFans so fast. So I laughed at some of the people who admittedly said, I had to join and I got to see what this is all about.
Well, mate, so, and here's the thing,
what you got to do.
Here's the reason why people feel bad, because it wasn't that long ago when her leaks came out from the cloud or whatever, that she was absolutely shaming anybody that looked at them.
Yes, I mean, that's my point. And she can say, oh, well, those were stolen private pictures. This is me willingly showing my ass to everybody. Is there a difference, Mitch?
No. Yes, there is. She's getting $20 a pop.
Yes, thank you. That's what makes it okay.
Dude, right? I was even joking. I'm like, dude, wouldn't it be funny if all she does is take the leaks that are already out there and just throw them up there and never post anything again? I'm like, that would have been fucking hilarious, because then she would be making money off of it. But, dude,
you're going to get people say that empowerment. There's nothing empowering that you could snooker a bunch of gullible men to really want to see your ass in all of its glory, and more than just like pervy shots that people took with cameras at ringside and your shorts.
Right.
So it's like, again, I was laughing when people were like, yeah, support. support her in what way? Everyone who's going there is going there. No guy, in my opinion, could even look straight in the camera and say, yeah, you know, I'm just giving her $20.
You know what's really gross about all that shit, too, that really, you know, like people like Toni Storm can just really fuck off with that opinion that all men raped her or whatever by looking at those photos?
Yeah.
Dude, do you remember Playboy? Does anybody remember Playboy? You'd have fucking Sable in there. You'd have Chyna. You had Tori Wilson. You had Ashley Massaro. Candace did it multiple times. Like
Christy Hemme. Yeah.
Did anybody call the men that looked at the same issue as another dude being rapists?
No, they were encouraging us to buy it.
Right. Dude, they would come out and they would cut WWE. They'd have like these little WWE skits back in the day. Matter of fact, I think they even had matches based over Playboy covers and stupid shit like that.
They used to have like Tori Wilson like walking around and they'd cut it off. It's like, you want to see more? You got to buy this magazine. Like, right. You know, it's like, so what are we doing here? You know, like we're going to pretend that the sexuality lore is not the same thing. You know,
OnlyFans is the new Playboy. That's really what it is. Because, and here's the other part too, is the girls are making even more money now with OnlyFans than they ever did with Playboy. Maybe not. Well, maybe not. And the only reason I'll say maybe not is because Playboy back then was the publication. Like OnlyFans didn't exist. Cameo didn't exist. These ways to have a social outreach didn't exist. But everybody across the fucking planet knew what a Playboy was. Everybody in the fucking world knew what a Playboy was. So when you had somebody like a Chyna or a Sable or a Tori or any of these girls that were doing Playboy, you automatically knew worldwide what they were doing. And the difference being, though, OnlyFans, they don't have to pay Playboy. Playboy isn't regulating how much they're coming in.
No.
Everything is based upon what they do. Look, there's a reason that Tammy, as much shit as we've given her over the years and stuff like that, continues to make content for OnlyFans because she's making money on it. She's making fucking money. If she wasn't making a dime, it probably wouldn't exist. Probably wouldn't fucking exist.
Well, they do pretty good. I mean, my partner and some people on the show, you know, who listen to the other podcast that do Chicky, she does an OnlyFans, but she is very straight up about what she does. Like she'll do like watch alongs and she'll do like theme kind of things and stuff for her fans. And she doesn't do any nudity. Like she'll do some risque stuff, but no nudity whatsoever.
Yeah.
And she's, you could call her like a Twitter celebrity. She's not a mainstream celebrity. Obviously she's like a social media celebrity and she does very well. I mean, I know she does very well for a fact, and she doesn't have to show anything more than she shows in the pictures that she posts on Instagram, except these are special ones and they're theme type of stuff.
Right.
Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So, and she does, and her fan base seems to be content with it. And like I said, that's her. I mean, I can only imagine Toni Storm, what she could do, you know?
Well, the other multiple level to this too, which is more popular with OnlyFans than just looking at a porn mag or going onto a fucking website, is that with OnlyFans, a lot of the times the girls will talk to you. The girls will have a fucking conversation with you.
They do.
And they're like, they can have a conversation with you on Twitter. Not the same.
Not the same.
You're talking about scenarios where, sure, there can be group chats and stuff like that, but there's a lot of times it's just a one-on-one. You know, it's
true.
It's not that unheard of, and it's not that crazy. And now all of a sudden, not only are you supporting a girl that you find physically attractive, but now you have a way of contacting them or at least sending them an email or a private message that you know that they look at.
Yep.
You know,
And
the other name that's on the list right now, too, is on March 30th. Not sure if it's OnlyFans. It's believed it might be. Nia Jax will be doing some kind of exclusive content.
That surprised me.
She's standing in black, a black nightie.
Doesn't surprise me.
Right.
Once now that Toni Storm, Scarlett, people like that are doing it, I think everyone's. I don't know anybody who's not going to do it, especially women who are kind of in between wrestling companies right now who aren't contracted or bogged. Obviously, in WWE, you can't do that if you're a contracted performer. But all these other people, I'm surprised, these independent girls, I think they all have OnlyFans, actually. If you go to those link trees that you see, pubs people, you know, you go there, OnlyFans. Everybody's got one.
Yeah.
And now guys can't make money on that. I mean, that's one thing where the girls got it over the guys. And when it comes to business,
guys, yeah, there's definitely who, some
who could make money on that? Like Jason Momoa, like who else could make money?
Well, I mean, in wrestling, I bet you if Roman Reigns all of a sudden pulled out an OnlyFans, there would be a lot of hits on that.
Yeah, you would have to be like
Seth Rollins too,
guy for women, because women are going to be much more select how they spend their money. Guys are willy nilly. $19.99, that's not a bad deal.
But you're saying women? I'm telling you. You're going to get a lot more men on that, on something like that.
No, you will get men, and I'm not discounting like even the the aspect of people of different sexualities or different preferences looking at those pictures. Just like old Playgirl magazine was mostly looked at by men and not by women. That was a known thing. That's fine. But the point being is that most heterosexual guys will probably not open an OnlyFans unless, again, they're in between jobs or looking for extra income.
Right.
A regular movie star does not need to do that.
You're not going to see
Jason Bateman go, I'm going to open up an OnlyFans.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're talking about the wrestling world where it's, you're literally talking about guys that work on their bodies for a living because their look is literally 50% of how they sell themselves.
Yeah, that's true. Companies. Yeah, maybe some bodybuilder guy.
Yeah, you look at like a Jomo. You're telling me a guy with the physique of a Jomo, you would be surprised to see him doing an OnlyFans? Dude's married. He ain't looking for no chasing tail. He's married. He's probably going to start a family. You know, like
does Taya have an OnlyFans?
I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Be surprised. Though.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, it could definitely go both ways. Now, DT asked me an interesting question. I gave my answer. But if, let's say, WWE allowed something like this, who do you think in WWE or even AEW? Who do you think in WWE or AEW should do an OnlyFans?
Mandy, without a doubt.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mandy and Toxic Attraction, maybe even sharing one and doing like as Toxic Attraction goes. Gigi Dolan, everybody's drooling over lately. So I would say Mandy along with her Toxic Attraction girls, they would be a big, big time hit.
Mm.
I don't think the Becky, the horse women, I don't think would be as big a deal because people look at them as like these technical wrestling stars. The sexuality girls would be over, but Mandy comes to mind would be a big hit. And in AEW, Penelope Ford, probably.
Oh, okay. All right.
And maybe, and I think Thunder Rosa might even happen OnlyFans.
For WWE, I said Paige. And the reason I said Paige was, and people were like, oh, but Miz, she's already shown her leaks and you've already seen nudes of her. I'm like, yeah, but how many people want more? How many people want that experience of seeing Paige do stuff to herself, saying your name, talking to you?
Well, the Paige at this point, Mitch, those pictures are nearly a decade old.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So now she's a grown woman. She was 19, 20, now she's 30. And different. She even looks a lot different than she looked in those old pictures.
She does, yeah.
So now it's you might as well be a new person.
But I love the idea of Mandy and Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. I think that's an interesting.
Oh, it sells itself. Can you imagine them even doing an advertisement on NXT? Want to see more?
Right.
You know, forget about it. You know, so also let me explain to people who don't know if my voice goes in and out, as you know, Mitch, I'm just getting over COVID. So
yeah,
still voice is still a little shaky, but I feel a lot better than I did last week.
And for AEW, I just want to throw that out there too. I would go with Serena Deeb. She has got a crazy fucking body. I don't know if you.
Oh, she's good. Yeah, she's a good looking woman.
Yeah, she's. I mean, physically, she is. She's a specimen. She's kind of like
Ivy. Ivy.
Yes. Yeah. She's got
that. Ivy Nile.
Ivy Nile has that crazy physique too. Yeah. I know a lot of people are into Cora Jade as well.
They are. Who's very much like Paige.
Really, I get an AJ feel out of her.
AJ meets Paige.
Yeah. That's fair.
もうすぐレスリングスープが始まるからいい子にしててね。
Nia Jax might be the next one to do an OnlyFans. We'll find out on the 30th. Obviously, she's going to be, you know, down at WrestleMania as well. And it seems like there's a lot of negativity already behind it. I'm looking at some of the responses and, you know, she's said a couple of things, done a couple of things that has not really made her liked by the public. And I wonder how this is going to fare for her because this might be one of those cases that it doesn't turn out positive for her. And I think she'll still make a ton of money. Like if she does an OnlyFans, I think she'll make a ton of money, but I don't know if she's going to get the respect that somebody else might, you know?
like me and you talked about with Sonny before, there's always going to be a, I'll use the word I use on the podcast adventures, plethora of people
yes.
who support these people no matter what. Sonny has her diehards, no matter how many times she gets arrested, no matter how many debasing things she says against African-Americans online. She has her fans like, but back in 96, this was my girl. And they stick to that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just Nia Jax is my girl. But even if after she said, you fans are a bunch of dumb motherfuckers. Yeah, she wasn't talking to me. She was talking to you guys, not me. You know, I'm a fan. I'm a diehard Nia Jax person. Mish, there's so many of those online.
Yeah.
You know, like, as many people were going against her, she has many people white knighting her. Girls, guys, yeah. young, old. So she's got her fans. So she'll probably be able, and there's people who like bigger women, and she's very attractive. She's an attractive woman. Even if the bigger woman's not your thing, people can be like, yeah, I'm curious to see what Nia Jax. She's actually a model, so I'm kind of maybe curious to see what she's going to do on this OnlyFans. And right there, you got hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest alone. Right. No pun intended. You know right. what I mean? So yeah, I think she'll be fine because there's people that will forgive you anything. You know, listen, Mish, there's still people who placate for Chris Benoit to be in the Hall of Fame.
I know.
For God's sakes. That's you know, wild. Yeah. Wrestling fans, man, they're great, but they're very bizarre too sometimes with their ethics.
Yeah. And also, you know, and I don't know how you feel about this. Would you go to a movie theater to watch WrestleMania? Because that's one of the things that, I mean, I know it's been done before, but AMC.
I did for WrestleMania 2.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
But that's what they're doing again. AMC, Cinemark, Regal Theaters, they're all going to be screening WrestleMania. So you'll be able to actually go to a movie theater now and watch WrestleMania live, which obviously we don't have fucking movie screens. You know, in our homes, at least not on the level of a cinema theater, you know, but it's like, wow, I don't know if I could do that.
Let me tell you something, and something I never told on DTKC before. I'll say it here for the first time. Actually, I don't believe I've ever told this story briefly. WrestleMania 1, I saw on closed circuit TV at the Roller Palace at a roller skating rink.
Oh, wow.
In Sheepshead Bay at the Roller. It was called the Roller Palace, big famous place. Where I grew up, and it closed like the year after. So WrestleMania won there. It became a Jack LaLanne 2 years later. And then a Lucille Roberts, it just became like a big gym and still is a gym to this day.
Huh.
And then WrestleMania 2, we saw it at a movie theater. I think it was at the Oceana in Brighton Beach in 86. 87 was the first time I got to see WrestleMania, me and my brother watching it in someone's home. I was at a friend's house. We got to see Andre the Giant, and we were so glad we didn't have to go out and about. We could sit in a home with a bunch of friends and stuff. The first two WrestleManias, it was like a big fucking to do and a big noisy mess in that Roller Palace, and then in the movie theater, just everybody talking, throwing shit at each other. It was just I wasn't feeling it at all. I was so glad once 87 kicked in. Never looked back. 87 on, it was always watching from home.
Wow,
so
that's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, so I did have the movie theater experience. But maybe it would be different now. People would behave themselves better now than they did back then. Back then, it was debaucherous. And even though I was a teenager, I wanted to fucking focus and watch.
Yeah, you wanted to watch the actual fight.
Right. I was looking for people having fights. It was ridiculous.
Young Kev, can you guys keep it down over there?
I remember just muttering to myself, "I hate this." Trying to watch Refrigerator Perry in this battle royal here.
One last thing before you're ready to wrap it up and get out of here. WWE has this thing for Dallas this year called the Virtual Restaurant. Mm-hmm. So apparently them and this company called Next Bite have the launch of WWE Smackadillas. Smackadillas. Mm-hmm. A limited time virtual restaurant in Dallas/Fort Worth exclusively for WrestleMania 38. Mm-hmm. It's delivered through Uber Eats and Grubhub and DoorDash. The WWE Smackadillas menu consists of 5 different quesadillas, as well as sides, desserts, and drinks. So WWE is opening up their own virtual restaurant for WrestleMania.
Wow.
That's nice. Yeah, that's interesting. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
So, yeah, it's what have they got? Spicy Superstar, Cheesy Chicken Champion, Onion Rumble, Chicken versus Ranch, Powerbomb Pizza.
Lord, gross. That is kind of gross.
The panel sessions for WrestleMania have been announced at the Access at the Kaylee Bay. So when we were talking about it earlier, The panel includes Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston at 7. Trish Stratus and Lita on at 9 on March 31st. Rey and Dominic at 1. The Street Profits and Bianca Belair at 3. RK-Bro at 5. Oh, that'll be packed. And then Paul Heyman to close it at 11:30 on April 1st. The Bella Twins at 11 a.m. Bobby Lashley and MVP at 1. That'll be good. Nice. Shawn Michaels, Braun Breaker, Carmelo Hayes, Cora Jade, MSK at 11:30 on April 2nd. Jerry Lawler and Jimmy Hart on at 11. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch at 1. And a surprise guest at 11:30 on April 3rd. Booker T and Queen Charmel at 11. Usos with Rikishi on at 1. Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Naomi at 3. JBL and Ron Simmons at 5. And The Undertaker on at 11:30 on April 4th. Wow. Tickets range from $50 to $150 for the panels. Surprise guest. What are you thinking? Steve Austin?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's I don't think so. Too. Yeah. I mean, who else could there be? Greg Valentine?
Yeah. Slick. People forget Slick. Slick is a Texas boy.
Oh, they should get the goon, Wild Bill Irwin.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Most Dude, I life. Didn't even know. And people were talking about that J.J. Dillon. And who was it? Somebody else was on, like, the People's Court.
Kevin Sullivan. Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah, on Judge Mathis.
I saw the clip. I said, no, it was Steve Harvey.
It was the Steve Harvey show? Okay.
Yeah, did you see the clip? I saw it.
No, I haven't seen the clip yet.
Yeah, I saw it.
I didn't know J.J. Dillon's real name was Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I hung out with J.J. Dillon. I did not know his real name was Jim Morrison. That's kind of funny.
Oh, that's right. You got to hang out with him.
Yeah. Shit, dude. But... Anyways, I'm glad you're feeling better, Kev. You know, hopefully you
somewhat. I'm still like in and out. Like it's almost like the TV station is not exactly tuned in. I'm still like having staticky problems, but I, you know, it's better than where I was last week at this time.
Gotcha. Thanks. But we'll get ready to wrap it up. You want to go ahead and plug?
Yeah, Castle and Chicky Podcast Adventures on Spreaker iHeart. New episode should be dropping today or tomorrow. Got into my whole COVID experience, what exactly happened and where I think I got it from. Give our opinions on that. We talk about stuff that's in the news and stuff. It's more of like a kind of a news and media current events kind of show. And then we're going to go back to themes starting next week. So you can check out a new episode. Today or tomorrow drops on iHeart Speaker. And also tomorrow night with Trez, my other female co-host, for KNT Chronicles on the Don Tony Patreon. You can sign up now, little as $5, and join us live in the chat tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, New York time.
Very cool. Much love, everyone. We will see you guys Thursday for Wrestling Soup. Peace.
Peace.
Wrestling Soup.
Hey.
Would like to thank you.
Thank you.
For listening to tonight's show.
That's right.
But to those of you that hate us, we know who.
Yeah, we know you.
There's one thing you can do. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Go
that's
fuck
right.
yourself.
Screw you. Yeah, screw you. You and you and screw you.
Hey man, you're you. Cool. But screw this motherfucker.
Screw you.
Yeah, screw you.
Screw
I didn't forget about you, motherfucker. Yeah, you can go fuck yourself. Aw, man, we kidding, right? For real. We love you, motherfuckers.